Just come in here. You
what?
Know, just to insult.
I'm cross. I'm the only person in the world not pregnant. So, you know.
Jesus, I think you
What's
might be.
What's going on?
I don't. Why is everyone
You were
up
joking
the
yesterday online and I've come in Jennifer's.
Jennifer McGuire. Like
bun in the oven.
She's 2 minutes in the door and she's already, you know.
No, don't.
She's already pregnant.
She's not 2 minutes in the door. She's a no, long time in the
She's not long
door.
Married though, is she?
Oh, you mean that?
Yeah, two weeks. 6 weeks.
Well, yeah, but she's with Lau a long time.
No, it's...
Anyway, let's not discuss Jennifer on air like that.
Given that you brought it up, I brought up the fact that
every woman in Ireland seems to be pregnant.
I'm trying to congratulate her. And,
I'm delighted for her.
And Amy. And Mumba. And what's the other one?
Middleton.
Kate.
And Una from the Saturdays.
And Una Foden.
Whose surname
Healy,
I don't know.
Healy Foden. And everyone else who happened to have got pregnant in the last 24 hours. Congratulations.
That covers everyone. Which brings me nicely on to what we're talking about today, narcissism, which could be the world's shortest chat because all I have to say is, it's you, and I can just get my stuff and go.
That's it.
Bye.
Thanks a million. but where do I come into this conversation? I just have to pick up my pen.
It's that. More... Did you actually throw your pen in anger?
Yeah.
He threw his pen in anger across the studio.
Don't look back.
Was that meant for me?
No, it was just, I was trying to say
If it is, you need new glasses. You weren't dropping your pen to look up my skirt, were you? That old chestnut.
Flattering yourself. Let's hear about
narcissism. You see?
Yeah.
All about me.
Well, let's talk about narcissus and how the word came about in the world.
Well, I think a lot of people assume that narcissism is like an extreme vanity. It's far more than, like, vanity is an entirely separate thing. It can be part of narcissism. And, you know, we live in an era where we're all told we should be as confident as possible and that we can have it all and we need to strive to be the best. And, you know, years ago in Ireland, people didn't think very much of themselves. And now, thanks to, you know, self-help books and the internet and Oprah, we all think we can be the best, which is obviously a really positive thing.
And it also leads to a lot of delusion.
It does.
I've seen people wear things they shouldn't wear. I've seen people who call themselves comedians who haven't a funny bone in their body. You know,
honestly. That's because you're a narcissist. Oh my God, that's on our list. If you're an adult and you are overly worrying or concerned about what other people are doing that doesn't quite fit in with your world order, unless you're Jim Corr, you know what I mean? Then maybe you should be questioning yourself.
I always question myself.
WD. Do you?
Yeah. Riddled with doubt.
I don't think so. You question yourself saying, why doesn't everyone compliment this shirt? It's just amazing.
I didn't ask for a compliment on this. Although I have to say it's very well ironed. But
anyway, the point is, what's the difference in somebody? Because being confident is a very attractive quality. Being assertive can be an attractive quality. Something that we all need. But the lines get very blurred. So how do you know the difference between somebody who is just a very confident person and someone who's a narcissist, who may end up not being a positive thing.
What are the traits of a narcissist?
In your life? Narcissist. We should just have a shorter word. Well, if there's now a recognised disorder.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I asked somebody, do you know what NPD is? And they went, is it the right-wing party in Germany? I went, no, it's not. But it could be. It's narcissistic personality disorder. Mm-hmm. And once there's a personality disorder that matches your trait, then you know you've got to be worried.
You see, just a quick one. In the last 10 years, anyone who's really annoying or just irritating, rude or arrogant, they now have a personality disorder so they can blame it on something quasi-medical.
Well, voodoo, it's a little bit basically. Like last week whenever
we were talking
about...
You don't, you're just annoying.
No, the moving house thing.
I was bullied. No, you weren't. You asked to move to a different show.
I'll just keep talking over you. When someone said, you know, we had the list last week of moving house being the third most stressful thing in the world, and we actually debunked that and said, you know what, that was just made up. Personality disorders can be slightly exaggerated too, but if it's clinically diagnosed, this is now a clinically diagnosable condition.
Could you please tell me what they are?
That can really affect your life. Well, I think on a lesser scale, I think everybody knows when you're the person that you meet for a drink or at an event and you leave thinking, I they didn't even ask me one thing about me or one thing, you know, about... And I put it out on Twitter and I got... So it's, you know, someone who you can spend hours in their company and you leave thinking, God, I now know everything about what they did.
Oh, no.
And, oh, no.
I'm feeling so guilty. Keep going.
No, you won't tick all the boxes, don't worry.
Go on.
And say, oh, God, this was a bad topic.
Yeah.
And a woman got in touch with me to say that her sister had died in quite tragic and sudden circumstances. And she said a lot of her work colleagues came to her funeral, which she appreciated. She then took a month off work because her sister's children needed and it needed a hand. And so she was gone for a month, and she said by the time she came back, it was obviously still very raw for her. But this particular woman met her for lunch, they can't take you for lunch, and spoke all about how she had bought this dress and the hem had fallen down. She had the ridiculous minutiae of how badly her night had gone. And she said they were at lunch for an hour, and she came back to the office and thought, she didn't once ask me how the kids were. Now that is a pretty extreme example of a narcissist.
I wouldn't say it's that extreme. I'd say it's quite common.
The question but after something so severe happening, it's different if you just don't have any interest in... I mean, for example, I find you very boring, so I'll ask you how you are, but I don't really
care.
But
you don't, you're not interested at all.
No, not hugely.
I get that.
But so they have... Think about, you know, it may have been... there was one psychologist who wrote a piece about it saying, basically, all the attributes that made you a good 16th century king make you a narcissist, and it doesn't really fit into the real world. So, you know, think Blackadder, that grandiose idea of self-importance and that everybody else's lives and opinions are... Now, we're all the centre of our own universes, and that's... I mean, I can't see out of your eyes, you can't see out of my eyes. Thank God. But it's when you dismiss other people's lives and genuinely think that yours are more important. And ironically, or perversely rather, the narcissist will tend to have low self-esteem. Because you think that arrogance and high self-esteem would be inextricably linked, but actually they're not. I've learned so much reading about
this. Great. No, I'm okay. I'm clear now. So I'm in the clear there. with regard to narcissism and the woman with the friend who had the bereavement, could to cut some slack to the woman with the hem in the dress, could she just not want to talk? Maybe she's not into...
It was a longer story,
darkness.
I was told. And the woman in question who had gone through the tragedy said this woman was... totally self-absorbed, always was. And she said, I said yes to going out with her because, oh God, it'll distract me from what's going on. But she said, I thought at least one question. Yeah. But she said it wasn't that. And I think you know the difference. In relationships, narcissists can be, you talked about recently, can be gaslighters. And that's something if you're going out with one. And again, it can be odd because if you meet a narcissist and you end up going out with them, the qualities that make them... the qualities that can be problematic are often the qualities you're attracted to in the first place.
Which are
like
what?
The confidence and the cockiness. You know, a lot of... a lot of actors, a lot of comedians would be, apart from my husband, would be narcissists because they want to be the centre of attention. You have to be a certain kind of person to crave attention. Another story I got was a woman whose ex-husband, she said she now recognises, was a complete narcissist. And she said, if we went out, a night would be made or broken based on how many of his jokes went down well. Or if he was centre of attention. We went to a big dinner party at Christmas. And she had a few years ago, I think they're split up a good few years now. And she said he was really agitated and distracted because there was a guy there who had come back from some very exotic trip. He said it wasn't arrogant, man, but everyone wanted to know his stories. It was somewhere in the Middle East he'd been, and he was regaling everyone with these stories. And she said my husband was livid and kept sort of butting in with, oh, let me tell you about this. And she, when he went home, he's in the car saying, that was a shite night. That was a rubbish night. And she said, it was a brilliant night, but he wasn't the centre of attention.
Yeah.
And the gaslighter thing, this is a really disturbing... I got loads of Twitter. Twitter's odd because when I put it out there, a lot of people say they want to DM me, which is private, their stories, obviously. So I have to follow them to get the stories. But then it's very hard to unfollow them because the stories are sometimes so mental. I think, okay, how quickly can I unfollow you now?
Yeah.
And another person said to me about the gaslighting, that which is, I think you spoke about before, when somebody can convince you or manipulate that something has happened that maybe hasn't.
Exactly.
You know, like saying, oh no, well, you said that when you were drunk, or you misplaced the keys. And that's quite evil. But this person said that they were going out with a narcissist who would do that so often. And it was always, she said they were both big drinkers and they'd have a lot of drunken rows. But he would then say to her, you don't remember saying this to me last night and threatened to do this. And she went, I'm not that bad a drunk. And she said, I ended up then recording a conversation. And the next day he said, well, I'm not the one who told. And what she said was pretty strong. And she played it back on the phone and he was speechless. And I just thought, that's a toxic relationship.
Well,
right,
you know, if you're recording your boyfriend's arguments when you're drunk, that probably shouldn't be going out with that person anyway. But of course, we shouldn't forget. And one of the reasons I left Twitter was because it was becoming another element of vanity and narcissism.
That down here.
I think
you always have to just rush it, don't you?
Facebook and Twitter, as you know, are great. There's an exhibitionism in there par excellence.
Well, the digital era and social media, I mean, it's called digital narcissism. There's now a separate term for that. And, you know, of course, like we have to, a healthy, you know, wanting people to care about about you is an important thing, and wanting to be liked is an important thing, and wanting people's approval is also an important thing. If it's extreme, it's not. Mm. But it's part of a healthy society for people to want to be liked and to like people in return. Mm. But social media has led people to, this is all getting very serious, to have more connections with people but less interest in people apart from what they think about my picture or my ice bucket selfie or and it's how many likes can I get.
And that's how it works. I mean, there's a me in social media, probably for a reason. And when you think of the Twitter.
Oh, did you actually just say that?
Yeah, and I think it's not a bad point because there is, if I may say so myself, you're giving me no slack today, but there is. And when people say things like, they make a comment about somebody very famous or whatever, and they put in their Twitter handle. Yeah. Oh, I saw at Stephen Fry's bookla, and you can tell they're neat. They're kind of trying to half compliment, half hope that.
Well,
they'll
it's
be
when
reply.
They're insulting that's the.
Well, I wouldn't mind that so much, but it's the other, the neediness. Yeah. It's social media, as I said.
Because my rehashed manky old series from last year, Before You Slag It Off, is being repeated, and somebody tweeted me, it was on last night, saying, who the hell is Maya Dunphy anyway, with my handle? And you go, well, why would you bother, first of all, finding my Twitter handle to tweet me and ask who the hell I am? Or you don't respond to people like that. But
no, but they're there, and they've kind of put a bit of unpleasantness into your world.
It started where, like, MySpace was originally designed for musicians and aspiring singers and DJs to kind of showcase their talent, and then Facebook came along, and I heard a great description of Facebook, that it's essentially an encyclopedia of common people, that it's people who don't necessarily, now some do, have that much to say. Now, of course, not everyone on social media is a narcissist, but what the psychologists say to us is that the heavier your social media use, the more likely you are to perhaps be one, and maybe you should question. And if you are, I think teenagers and kids are different, but if you're an adult, and you know, especially somebody over 25 or even over 30 or older again, and you are constantly checking Twitter to see who likes your last picture,
That's needy. Is that needy? Is needy and narcissism, are they not very different things, though? Needy,
well, that's the thing. The lines are blurred in a lot of these things, because also narcissism and a narcissist and a psychopath have a lot of say. If you drew a Venn diagram, the lack of empathy is the big one in the middle. But obviously, for a psychopath, they can have quite, a different outcome. A psychopath might tend to be more antisocial.
I know somebody who
and now there's a new term. You can be a psychopathic narcissist.
Well, that's, what's that, American Psycho?
Yeah.
Probably a bit of that. I know somebody who every
it's
time...
Okay, you're not one of those.
No, I'm beginning to think I'm not, actually. Good. But every time I talk to this person and I'd say, okay, did you see the house went up for sale down by the beach and it looks lovely and I'm thinking of buying it. And the person will say, yeah, I love the beach. I love walking on the beach because it's so sandy. And I was on the beach last week and I nearly bought an ice cream because I love ice cream. Do you know how much I love ice cream? I love it that much. And I also love when there's a bit of flake in the ice cream. And I love the taste of the chocolate when it goes in with the ice cream altogether and then with a bit of cone. The conversation goes right back and you can throw anything at this person and it'll go straight back into. I said, did you see the paper today? There's a great piece about Iraq. Now, funny you should say that.
I
was in
Iraq. Rain Mac.
I
bought a Rain Mac once, which sounds like Iraq.
And I have Iraq. I mean, it's an amazing one. You know, you should see it. You know, and it just turns into that kind of straight back to that amazing all the time.
Go to any wedding and you will find a handful of those people. I always think weddings are good for a cross section of nut jobs because they're not necessarily all people that want to be in the same room at the same time, unlike maybe a party that you would choose your guest. But there's, I mean, that's the big one. But then, how do you tackle it? If you are married to a narcissist or going out with one or you're friends with one. If you're friends, you can probably just move away. But the narcissist as well, if you tackle them on it and you say, you know what, the last time I saw you, you didn't even ask me how my operation went or how my kids were. If they react really defensively, then that's a sign they could be.
You might notice I'm not shaking your hand because the operation was successful and it was amputated and you haven't as much as asked me to high five you. Okay, text 51552. Never mind narcissism. What about arcissism, which is when someone is a complete... Thank you, Ed. I agree with Ryan. We should call it social media, which I agree with as well, obviously, because, I thought of it. Why is Maya in such a fowler today? I think she just needs a big hug from you, says Bernie. I don't know. You're quite contrary today, has
nobody
to be said.
No one sent that text.
Came in with a head.
Nobody sent a text in saying that.
Bernie did.
Bernie?
Do you want to give Bernie's number to Maya? She can call her afterwards and have
a
chat.
Is Bernie a man or a woman?
I'd say it's a woman. I'd say it's Bernadette. I don't think any man.
I hear Bernie.
I don't think men call themselves Bernie anymore.
I bought you chocolate brownies.
Not Bernie, you didn't. Oh, brownies.
Yeah, you don't like brownies.
No.
Do you not?
Not really, no. Sorry. Sorry to.
This is backfired.
They've been having a good day today. I'm so sorry. I don't really. I've never liked brownies ever.
There goes that one.
But thank you for the thought, most importantly.
Yeah, don't forget about it.
The team have eaten them anyway, as is often the case. They're gone.
Well, we weren't going to bring them in because then you just get too distracted.
I do.
But I didn't realize I don't like them.
You could bring them all in here and there and I wouldn't be distracted. Oh. I'm sorry. I what a thoughtful thing to do. I'm really the ingrate
I'm
looking at you.
I'm quite disappointed.
Sorry. My mother is a narcissist, as a text, of course, not me. It's no joke being the child, an adult child of a narcissist mother. It's a very under-recognised disorder. I've distanced myself from my mother a huge amount, as we live in a society that unconditionally holds mothers in such high esteem. I am judged and misunderstood. What an interesting text, because
there was a letter in the Irish Times about that exact thing a couple of days ago.
Saying what?
A woman who was in her 50s saying, I think she's just broken free of the shackles of her narcissistic mother.
Oh.
And I think with relationships or friendships, you can break away to a certain extent, but it's such a formative, important and fundamental relationship between, especially mother and daughter, that I think it can undermine. It's quite common. A lot of mothers who maybe live vicariously through their kids, through their daughters.
I'm still pretty. I'm wearing Juicy Couture trousers.
Yeah.
You're 89.
But it's very, very damaging. And this letter, I think the woman had finally, as I said, freed herself from it. But my God, that's...
But is the mother just a psycho, nasty psycho bitch woman? Or is it just that the mother is narcissistic with a personality disorder? Some people are just mean.
The professionals say that there's usually a root cause of it, and it can be it's kind of extremes. Maybe if you were praised too much as a child or weren't praised enough as a child, it can lead to it. So it's hard to find a balance.
I give you the tuneless singers and the unfunny comedians. We're all praised too much as a child, or the ugly model. We'll take a quick break. We come back in a moment. Sorry. It's 23 minutes to 11. I'm here with Maya Dunphy. Ryan and Maya says, Mary, I used to work with a woman who always turned conversations around to herself. She became known as Two Shits. Oh, you had a shit, I had two. That's funny. 1850 715 922. Fringe or no Fringe. If you want tickets for the Fringe, Dublin Fringe Tiger Film Festival or Movie Festival or Theatre Festival, get in touch now.
Do you remember when I got a fringe
face cut? Pams. A pair of face pams. 1850 715 922.
Do you remember my fringe? Do you remember I got a fringe cut years ago?
I don't really.
Disaster.
Was it a mess?
Yeah. It was just like a broken Lego. Lego helmet. Those little Lego hair.
That was
hats.
Unfortunate.
Yeah.
This is a very serious disorder, says the text. That can destroy people's lives. We're talking about narcissism.
Not fringes.
NPDs. Are narcissistic personality.
That's what I said.
Are psychopaths. Genuine psychopaths. It's not simply an overconfident person. There is unfortunately a much deeper, darker, and indeed evil side to this.
I don't think they're psychopaths. I'm not a psychologist or a psychiatrist, but I have read stuff. I googled it, so.
So it must be true.
Yeah, armchair psychology. But they said there are a lot of crossover points, but fundamentally, psychopaths will... The lack of empathy with a dangerous end result, whereas narcissists will just bring it back themselves, and then they're unlikely to start stalking you. But there's no doubt they're both self-involved.
Isn't Facebook/Twitter just pure vanity? Conditions. The world wants to know about me, etc., etc.
Do you know what though? I think I love social media.
Yeah,
it's brilliant. It's a little bit vicarious. It's good fun. Like I said, not everyone on social media is a narcissist, but we're all leaning that way. And there's times when, God, I'm a grown woman, and there's times I put a picture up on Twitter. Now, 99.9% of people on Twitter, I don't know. But yet, if I get a harsh comment, I think, oh God, that's... Like Bernie. Bernie's really upset me with that.
Yeah, see, isn't it funny? We get 10 texts in. The one that really bothers you is the one semi-negative one.
Yeah, I'm going to find where she lives. I'm going to make her like me.
There you go. That is the problem. Well, I think most people in this business, including myself, you have to have a scintilla of narcissism, if not more, to be in it. I don't like brownies either, says Nula. They stick to the roof of your mouth and go through you like a lump of filler paste. Okay, but on to the back to the subject.
Back to Two Shits.
I am. That's quite funny, isn't it?
Mine will not go
Two Shits McGraw, eh? You say two, I say one. I am the exact same as that girl. My mother is a narcissist. She never asks how we are. Call to her and it's all... her. She doesn't even take a breath and you leave just wanting to go to bed.
I think fundamentally narcissists are very unhappy people. Because to be, I mean, there's an awful lot of jealousy, excuse me, and it's you think that people are jealous of you, but actually you're jealous of other. You know, people who constantly fixate about, say, someone else's marriage or someone else having kids, or and they will keep going on, like a friend of mine does, and she will keep going on about what someone else has done. And I just don't understand it. Why would they do that? I said, well, why would you care? It's not affecting you in any way, unless you think you should be doing the same or they're not giving you enough attention.
The X Factor contestants are a worrying sign of the amount of narcissistic people in the UK. PPS, tell Maya to make Ryan a chocolate biscuit cake. She makes an incredible one. Jim.
Oh, I think that's Jim from Retro Nation, which is a fabulous little shop in Stephen's Green Centre. Sells all those very cool.
Yeah, he sent us in. I still have them. My Beatles espresso.
Very
cups.
Cool shop.
Very cool shop and a cool guy too.
He's a very cool guy. I did. My husband gave me the world's shittest gift for Valentine's Day this year. He found this really creepy. It was like an Aboriginal sculpture.
Yeah.
Made from terracotta of a semi-naked man reclining. It was a joke. He was trying to find, because we don't do Valentine's Day, the most inappropriate gift. And you were away and I was chatting to Rick O'Shea and we auctioned it for the Dogs Trust.
Oh, good.
And then someone else said, I said I'd throw in a cake. And then two people said they would give 50 quid if I made them cake. So I did. And Jim was one of them.
There you go.
And he was a lovely man.
Bada bing.
Yeah.
Okay, so narcissists. Okay, I'm not feeling too bad. I thought that this was going to be a very embarrassing conversation for me, but I'm not ticking too many of the boxes.
You tick a fair few of them.
Fair few, yes.
They can react dramatically to criticism. Yes, that's you. Centre of attention. Yes, that's you.
Check.
Success-driven narcissist.
Check.
Who will keep you on side for as long as you are useful.
Correct. Absolutely. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
They can be very immature.
Correct.
And react in a very immature way to things. It's all about me.
No.
They believe they are special or unique and don't understand why people don't see it.
No,
yes, that's you. They need admiration and have a strong sense of entitlement.
Yeah, I'll take 50% of that.
They throw pens across rooms and they hate brownies.
Check and fry.
Yeah. Try a bit of one of the brownies.
Okay.
One of the end bits that isn't so chewy. Is it the chewiness you don't like?
I'll tell you what.
Do you have all your own teeth?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
It's impressive.
Thank you. At my age, certainly is. Dean Limerick says, would you not say that some people who join in with, oh, that happened to me too, are just trying to show empathy? No, Dee, I tell you what, on occasion, yes, but some people, whatever you throw at them, will just twist the whole thing around, even if it couldn't possibly have anything to do with them.
You will recognise it. I think people sharing stories and experiences is very different to someone bringing it around to them. That's the thing, we're not, all of these traits are, in moderation, are very healthy traits, you know, being confident, sharing stories, having a story to engage with somebody else or to relate to somebody else. I mean, I think most of the listeners know that it's not, you don't sit at home thinking, oh my God, well, I was once jealous of that person or I must be a narcissist. No, you're not. It's when it's all consuming that you need to worry. But also, you know, it's apparently it's now a treatable condition as well.
Sure, everything's treatable. What did Michael Douglas, he was treated for something.
Oh, not the sex addiction. That one...
Sex addiction really is. Is that a real serious illness? Is it? Would you?
I'm a little bit skeptical about it.
Why are you skeptical about it?
Because
it's treated in the Rutland Centre. I heard the ad.
I think everything's treated in the Rutland Centre. It's great.
No, but sex addiction.
I think it can be real. I think if somebody tends to be a man is out looking for sex in quite dangerous scenarios that maybe questions need to be asked if they're putting themselves at
like
risk.
Michael Fassbender in Shame.
But yes.
That's quite extreme, though.
I didn't like that movie. But for someone like Michael Douglas, who's just getting his rocks off with everyone he can.
But you see, that's what perceived.
I think there's a slight difference.
But a sex addict
it's an excuse.
A sex addict will say to you, oh, I'm an addict. I have an illness. Why would you be so dismissive of me?
Yeah, it's the whiplash of the addiction world, isn't it? It's very hard to prove.
Okay, I'll leave it on. That's a very good line. Maya, thank you so much. And thank you for the generous time and effort it took to make the brownies.
I only have a few weeks left. I just want to, I want to try and just buy your friendship.
Well, you're doing well.
So what will I bring you next week?
You couldn't make a Swiss roll by any chance, could you?
Really?
I love Swiss rolls.
Couldn't make a Swiss roll. Push them down a hill. No?
I don't. Yay!
Come
on, Gunther. Get down that hill.
Really? A Swiss roll?
Yeah, I love it. Either jam, coffee or chocolate. I don't mind.
What's
really fresh.
You?
I just fresh. But not fresh cream, though. Just jam or whatever that other stuff they do. Country bake. Buy one.
No, because when you buy them, they're always a few days old.
No, I only want them on the day.
I'll try and make a Swiss roll.
Would you?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
You're a strange man.